Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for joining us here on AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning.
Folks, want to let you know you can watch the show on YouTube or Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues. And if you want to join our live video streaming of this program, you can do that. Also, you can check out the stories that we talk about as we will be posting them on our Facebook page. So, Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube. Take advantage of that. By the way, at the bottom of the hour, Congressman Trent Kelly from Mississippi will be in studio with us. So we're looking forward to visiting with Congressman Kelly. Well, we're sad today and heartbroken over what happened in our sister state there of Alabama.
Yes, southeastern Alabama.
And Georgia, I guess.
Georgia, parts of Florida.
What happened last night?
Well, it's a tornado. The latest death toll that we have is 23 people. Absolutely incredible what happened last night. Winds gusting around 160 miles per hour, they say. That went through an area, Beauregard, Alabama, which is east of Montgomery, in the southeastern portion of Alabama.
Not too far from Auburn University, by the way.
Right. Yes. And a rural area in particular that I've seen the pictures this morning that were taken last evening and this morning again. And you always talk about tornadoes in this way, the damage afterwards. It looks like a war zone, but that's a good way to describe it. I mean, it's just like a bomb went off, trees just smattered. You see debris from, there are a lot of, according to the Lee County Sheriff, it's Lee County, Alabama, a lot of mobile homes in that area, manufactured homes, and they get hit hard in all of this.
You know, go ahead. These were a series of tornadoes that went through Alabama and Georgia, maybe South Carolina, I don't know, but late, would have been yesterday, middle of the afternoon?
Middle of the afternoon and into the evening? Yes, sir.
But
yes.
The thing about it is, you think about it, 23 confirmed dead.
Yes, sir.
40 injured that we know of. But, you know, in this day and age, with all the warnings that we have, it's unusual that anybody dies because usually people are able to take cover prior to a tornado because you have forewarning. But in this case, so I just say that's how strong and devastating this particular storm was. And just looking at the pictures, it was a tornado that stayed on the ground. It was an F3?
F3, but it may be up class to a 4 once the federal authorities get in there because they base the strength on the amount of damage done.
So it basically is like a lawnmower going over the countryside for like, I don't know, 7 miles?
In this case, 7 miles.
That's what I read.
A lot of times these tornadoes touch down, bounce back up.
Right.
But this stayed on the ground for 7 miles, half a mile wide or something. So to your point, Tim, in terms of the description, it is like taking a lawnmower over. Right. And I mean, it just flattens everything in its path.
Right. Mm. So sad and tragic and a lot of people hurting today. And
I guess the good news is that organizations like the Southern Baptist, 8 Days of Hope, and others, we'll be talking to them a little bit later today. They'll be sending teams in to help out.
Right.
And so help is on the way for these dear folks, but it's a tough time.
Yeah, and this is, you know, quite frankly, we haven't had a lot of tornadoes the last year or two in the U.S. I'm talking about. So, of course, did you know that tornadoes are almost exclusively in North America? And more specifically in the Midwest primarily the heartland. That would be Nebraska, Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas.
They call Tornado Alley.
Yes, and then the southeast.
Yes.
And, of course, a lot of that is because the moisture from the Gulf of Mexico meets cold air from Canada, and mm-hmm. they clash in the middle of our country. Mm-hmm. And starting in the plains and then moving.
I didn't know that it's primarily a North American phenomenon.
Yeah, tornadoes around the world are extremely rare. Mm-hmm. So you never hear about them in Mexico, for example, or South America, or it's almost right here in the middle of our country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that you hear of a tornado in the state of Washington or do they have them in Arizona? I don't think so.
Well, in Washington, like, they're on the ocean up there, but the water is so cold in the Pacific. That's why you don't have them in California, Oregon, and Washington, because that water out there in the Pacific is so cold.
Right.
The Gulf waters are warm. I mean, you're talking, 80 degrees sometimes.
Yeah. You're talking about the cold water up around Alaska and the mid-northwest.
Correct, up there. And they don't get it. They don't get that same clash. Arizona, the air is just too dry.
Too dry.
Yeah.
You get dust devils.
Yeah. But, the vast improvements that we made that tell us tornadoes are on the way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you can still go out in the countryside where we live here in Northeast Mississippi, and this is true, I'm sure, in the parts of the country that are affected by tornadoes, and see shelters from 100 years ago.
Yeah.
That are, basically
in the side of a hill somewhere.
Yeah. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
See them all the time. And they're not used anymore, I guess, much. But I remember when I was a kid going into those cellars, you'd go down there, and you're just wondering, should I take a risk on the tornado or go ahead and be bit by poisonous spiders,
right?
Which are down here in this cellar.
Right.
Snakes
or whatever.
All right. So anyway, our prayers certainly we are praying. We did this morning in our staff meeting for these folks who are affected by the tornado and tornadoes. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What do you got next, Fred?
Well, I had an opportunity to fill in for Janet Medford on Friday, and we opened up the phone lines. We wanted to get people's reaction to what's been going on at Walmart, and AFA mm-hmm. has certainly been put the alert out last week about this Facebook commercial ad which featured two homosexuals.
Right.
And we've been asking people to sign a petition to express their concern.
And this was a surprise. We never expected to see retail giant Walmart posting an online video ad, which is what they did, that normalized homosexual relationships. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit what this is in this ad, but you can read more if you go to afa.net, and right there in the middle of your screen will be our action alert. If you don't get our action alerts on a regular basis, folks, sign up for them. We only send two a week, mm-hmm. and we do all the work for you, give you easy access to members of Congress or sometimes your state legislatures, but also corporations. So go and read about this. You can click through and watch the commercial that we're talking about, the online ad that Walmart ran. Now, the ad was part of a campaign called Love is in the Aisle, a dating show at Walmart. That's the name of the campaign. Love is in the Aisle, a dating show at Walmart. Now, episode 2 featured Pat and Andy, two homosexual men, on a blind date as they meet at the store and shop together. And through this process, they hope to discover whether or not they are compatible. We thought that Walmart was going to remain neutral in these kind of controversial issues. They did not. They have thus far refused to pull down the ad. That's all we're asking is neutrality. And so we asked them to pull down the ad, and they have not. So we're asking people to sign a petition. And already more than 112,000 people have signed it. And so we're asking you to sign this petition to Walmart, urging them to remove this pro-homosexual video and remain neutral in controversial issues. We're not asking Walmart to ban gay people from their stores. I mean, it's absurd. Homosexuals, heterosexuals, everyone buys Cheetos, Diet Cokes, pickles, we all know what Walmart
We're not talking about their hiring practices either.
That's right. We're just saying remain neutral in this a very controversial issue.
Mm-hmm. Why is this not neutral, this ad? This ad, I watched this ad the first time, and I thought, good night, this is in your face. It's two men at I went Nancy Pelosi there for a minute, not Thanksgiving, but Valentine's Day. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. But and they got these guys, and they're hooking up at Walmart. These two gay guys hooking up at Walmart for a date. And it's just, and one of them is just, it's just so in your face. Now, there's a reason they didn't put this on TV, I think, because they would have got a lot of negative reaction. Right. You're sitting there watching TV with your 7-year-old granddaughter or son or whatever, and this ad comes on. There was nothing subtle about this, but why is this not what you've said? All we've asked Walmart to do is to remain neutral in the culture wars. And by the way, let me just say this as a aside. Us here at AFA have had a good relationship with Walmart in terms of them listening to us and hearing from us, and they do value what we have to say. They don't always agree with us, obviously. And Walmart is a behemoth of a company. So believe it or not, the right hand says they may now know what the left hand's doing all the time. So if you call Walmart, you know, they may say, well, we didn't, I don't know what they'll say. So last week, some of the Walmart folks were saying, we didn't do this, we didn't respond to this ad, right?
That's right.
Some of the receptionists at Walmart were saying this. So anyway, what do we mean by staying neutral?
Well, Walmart has got to know that the vast majority of their customer base do not believe in things like gay marriage, same-sex marriage.
Hooking up at Walmart.
And so when we say remain neutral, we mean do not promote relationships that a lot of people find controversial. Listen, the fact of the matter is that nobody cares where someone goes, to whom they go home to, and who they're sleeping with when you're advertising your products at Walmart. Your products should be, hey, listen, we give you good value for a lower price, and that's what we do here. And instead, what they've done is they've said, yeah, we care about identity politics. We're going to make an ad specifically applauding homosexual relationships. And I think this is a loser for Walmart, and we want people to let them know it's a loser.
You know, that's the question we asked to our listeners on Janet's show at noon on Friday. We said, why would Walmart do this? Why do you think Walmart would do this when the demographics of their customers certainly don't relate to this ad that was on their Facebook? We had one caller, and I wanted to play you his response. He said he's from Bentonville, which is the hometown headquarters of Walmart. Cut number five.
I've lived here 40 years, and I have seen the changes. This was a small town when Sam and Helen started Walmart, and it's grown. Now it's obviously, you know, one of the biggest companies in the world, and we have people living here from every corner of the world right now. So with that, you bring a lot of diversity. I see a lot of diversity. I've been to banquets. We have a nonprofit, and Walmart's very good to nonprofits and organizations. They donate a lot of money, but we've been to banquets where the main entertainment was, homosexual entertainment as far as the piano playing or the singing or whatever.
So that was a caller from Bentonville, familiar with Walmart, and he says that what they did not come as a surprise to him because he has seen what has been happening at Walmart.
Go to our website, AFA.net, right, Ed?
AFA.net. It'll be center of your screen. You'll see you'll be able to click through to sign the petition.
And watch the video.
The episode two, Love is in the Aisle, a dating show at Walmart.
See if we're overstating it. I think you'll watch that. It's really over the top. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
All right, Supreme Court decision this morning, very interesting. Supreme Court decided this morning won't hear a case about whether states can exclude religious buildings from getting public money for historic preservation work.
Now, they will or won't hear a case?
They won't hear the case. And because there's a mix-up in the courts over this issue, let me explain. The justices declined today to hear the case from New Jersey's Morris County. In 2002, the county created an historic preservation program and made religious institutions eligible for grants. The Freedom from Religion Foundation sued, and the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that the state's constitution barred the grants to religious institutions. All right, so, but Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote that the justice should address the issue, but not until more case law develops, because there was a Supreme Court decision in 2017 that a Missouri church couldn't be excluded from its state's playground resurfacing program solely because it is a religious institution. You probably remember
right.
that case.
That was a Lutheran school, what, church school?
They had a playground, and the state had this grant program to rubberize the surfaces to protect the kids.
Yeah, you use chopped up tires or something and yeah. create a softer surface yeah. on the play area.
So the Supreme Court said the church couldn't be excluded in that case because it's a church. But the New Jersey Supreme Court in that particular case on the grants to religious institutions ruled with the Freedom from Religion Foundation, the atheist group. So Supreme Court this morning saying it wants to hear a little bit more about the case law before it rules on such matters.
I think that what a lot of people don't know is that Supreme Court rulings, now we're not talking about the First Amendment, that should be clear, mm-hmm. but we are talking about what Supreme Court rulings have said in the past, is that the government cannot favor religion, but it can't be hostile to it either. And that was the core of the ruling regarding the Missouri case, is you can't say, a government on any level can't say, well, we're going to promote this particular church or this particular denomination. You can't do that. But you also can't say, well, kids going to the Lutheran church school, they can't ask for this playground money because they're religious and we don't like them. Mm. So you can't do that either. So you can't be hostile to it. So you can't say everyone gets some government money except for those Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think this would be a loser for New Jersey, but apparently the Supreme Court's going to wait before they hear this case.
Yep, that's what they decided this morning. Well, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar from Minnesota is back in the news again. Remember, she had some comments about lawmakers who support Israel back a few weeks ago.
Follow the Benjamins.
Follow the Benjamins, yeah. And at the time, she took some chastisement from Nancy Pelosi and Congresswoman Omar apologized. Remember, she said, you know, I need to learn to listen or something along that line. Well, apparently she forgot about that apology because she's back at it again. She says, I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it is okay to push the allegiance to a foreign country. Now, what she was saying is that she's calling lawmakers who support Israel, she's saying they're being disloyal to the United States and more loyal to the Jewish state. She did not stop there. She also accused her Jewish colleagues of making her and Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, she's the Muslim Congress from Michigan, from Minnesota, a target due to their Muslim faith. And then she says, what I'm fearful of, because Rashida and I are Muslim, that a lot of our Jewish colleagues, a lot of our constituents, a lot of our allies go to thinking that everything we say about Israel to be anti-Semitic because we are Muslim. Well, she is taking flack, even from some of her Democrat colleagues. Elliot Engel, a Democrat from New York, basically says Omar has to stop these tirades against Israel and against lawmakers who support Israel. Not any less loyal to the United States. It's about supporting the small Jewish state.
Yeah, and Representative Engel, again, from New York, called on Omar to apologize for what he called a, quote, vile anti-Semitic slur, she made it a town
Another
hall
one?
Event. Yeah. Well, this is the one we're talking about, that Israel, you know, demands allegiance
from
America.
This is a problem for the Democrats because they're all saying President Trump's a racist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a xenophobe and a misogynist and a, give me three more negative words, Ed. Homophobe, maybe?
Did you already use xenophobe?
Yeah, give me a couple more phobes. Can you... Anyway, I
can't come up with any more.
I'm searching for some
more phobias.
What I'm saying is that the Democrats are making Trump, President Trump, that to him, they're constantly saying every day that he's the devil. He's the devil himself. President Trump is. Jesse Jackson went after him at the Selma march over the weekend. I read calling him. Well, I don't know. He said something to that effect that this guy's evil. Talking about President Trump. Anyway, the point is, they've got a problem because if in their midst is this Muslim congresswoman who's always saying things anti-Semitic, to call it vile.
This is a vile anti-Semitic slur.
Okay, a fellow Democrat congressman calling her words vile anti-Semitic slur. I'm saying if you got that in your midst, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Then you got your own problems. If she's going to be allowed to be on committees and not kicked out, basically like Steve King, he wasn't kicked out, although he was disciplined by the Republican Party for something that he says was misunderstood, talking about Steve King. Anyway, they got their own problems with it. I tell you what, though, I would suspect that the base of the majority, the base of the Democrat Party in America is anti-Israel.
I wouldn't argue with that. I don't know if it's true, but I wouldn't argue with that.
I think that's true. Even though Jews support the Democrat Party in America
by and large.
So it does pit those Jews against many people in their party who are anti-Israel. Now, the question would be, do you consider being anti-Israel the same as being anti-Semitic? You know what I'm saying? And I guess a lot of these Jewish...
these are the first Muslim women elected to Congress, Omar and Tlaib, from Minnesota and Michigan, respectively. And what Omar said was she said that because of their religion... A lot of their Jewish colleagues, a lot of their constituents, a lot of their allies, she said, think that everything we say about Israel is anti-Semitic because we are Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So she's saying this is just a perception that we are anti-Semitic because we're Muslim, and if we criticize Israel, that must be...
Yeah, but you're saying follow the Benjamins and things like that. This is
they clearly are anti... They clearly hate
the
Israel.
Slurs, they're anti-Semitic. It's anti-Semitic language. And... I don't think that's going to go away because this is deep.
Right.
These people feel like that Israel is an illegitimate country, basically, and that they are constantly violating the human rights of the Palestinian people.
Right.
And so they're not going to give that up.
Farrakhan's
view.
Ocasio-Cortez, remember she was famously in that interview early on after being elected. She was talking about the occupation.
Yes.
Of Palestine.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying that view is representative of the majority of the base of the Democrat Party in America, in my opinion. It's an interesting conflict to watch because you do have a lot of Jews who support the Democrats, yet the Democrat Party is allowing for anti-Semitism to fester in its midst.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We shall return. By the way, I was looking at one of these pictures. Is a billboard. You know how big a billboard is out on the highway?
Right.
A billboard flew 20 miles.
What?
Yes,
the tornado?
From the tornado
that
hit Alabama last night. That's how powerful the storm was. Can you imagine picking up a billboard and carrying it 20 miles? That's amazing. Again, we ask you to pray for those people in Alabama. Who were affected by these tornadoes. How many passed away?
23
that they know of right now. We will return. Congressman Trent Kelly will be with us momentarily. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Hannah Leary of the National Bible Bee.
I competed in the National Bible Bee for 6 years in middle school and high school, and it completely changed my life. It changed the way I viewed Scripture, and I just developed an amazing love for the Word of God.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
The Arlington National Cemetery. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. On our spiritual heritage tour in September, we'll be going to the Arlington National Cemetery, where we will visit the tomb of the unknown soldier and the changing of the guard. What a moving ceremony that is. We'll spend several hours at the Arlington National Cemetery, what I consider really to be the crown jewel of our nation's capital. We're going to be going in September. We're going to be seeing all the sites in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We'll also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. There's so much to do and see. We also have a Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown part. If you'd like to go on that as well, you're welcome to do that in September. For all the information, simply visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Find out what happens when a patriot is heckled during the Pledge of Allegiance next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. There's been a simmering feud over the Pledge of Allegiance in Santa Barbara, California. In January, the City College Board of Trustees stopped reciting the pledge. They were concerned about white nationalism and racism. After much debate, the Board of Trustees reversed the ban. But when a citizen tried to pledge her allegiance, listen to what happened.
Of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's a mighty sad day in America when an elderly woman is bullied and badgered simply for pledging allegiance to the flag, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. Well, we have with us in studio Congressman Trent Kelly, who represents the 1st District of the state of Mississippi. Congressman Kelly lives here in Tupelo area, and so had no excuse not to be in studio with us today. He couldn't come up with something. How you doing, Trent?
I am great, and it's great to be on AFR this morning.
Good morning, brother. Congressman Kelly. Hey, tell our listeners, there's several things we want to talk to you about. But I'm just curious, whenever I meet somebody who serves in government, especially in our nation's capital, whether it be in the House or the Senate or whatever, you know, when you were 10, 20 years old, you probably didn't have any aspirations to be a United States House of Representatives member, did you?
I had no ambitions to
what
do
did you
that.
Want to do?
It was, I wanted to be a lawyer and a district attorney,
right,
which I was. And, of course, I love the military and still do that.
You served in the military.
Yes, so. But I no aspirations to be in Congress. As a matter of fact, I grew up in a small town in Mississippi, Union, Mississippi, probably 11 to 1,500 people. And I just thought being in Congress was beyond anything that I could reach. But as you know, we serve an awesome God, and lots of things that are beyond our reach are not beyond His.
But Alan Nunley, who served our district prior to you, he passed away, which he was a great congressman, a great friend of our family and our ministry. That opened up a place for you to run. And how did you come to that decision? How long ago was that now?
Lord, that's been 3.5 years ago. So like that would have probably been, years. I think Alan passed away in February of 15, right. And then they started doing the, you know, who was going to do. And, of course, I was district attorney. I'd already qualified to run for my second term as district attorney. And it opened up, and I just thought this is an opportunity to make a bigger difference. And I prayed about it and thought about it. And it was a long process. You know, the decision was made quickly, but it came after a couple of weeks of praying to make sure that was where I was supposed to be.
Let's talk about, I know you've told this story 1,000 times, and I don't want to spend the whole interview talking about this, but that day in Washington, D.C., was it been a year and a half ago or so, where you guys were playing softball?
Oh, baseball now. Come on now.
Richmond
throws about 85 miles an hour. That is not softball.
So it was a baseball team.
It was a baseball team.
It was a baseball team. But it was the day that you guys, the Republican baseball team, made up of House members, we're out on the field practicing,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
And this fella came up and started firing rounds at you.
He did. You know, it was a little bit before 7.
How many of you were out there?
There were probably about 20 to 25 people out there. Although there were probably 15 members of Congress out there.
Was it just a bright sunshiny day?
It was a nice day. It was in June, so it was right before, you know, it's still the morning, so the sun hadn't really got up and got hot yet. But we're standing there, and I'm on third base, taking grounders from Roger Williams like I always do, and all of a sudden gunfire erupted, and of course I knew immediately what it was, having heard that sound before. So,
well, I've had other congressmen talk to me and tell me that your actions saved a lot of lives because you were able to detect, I guess, because of your military training.
Yes, sir.
You were able to sort of know what to do. What happened in that moment when you realized what was going on?
Well, when I heard the shot, my immediate thought was, what idiot is shooting a high-powered rifle on a baseball field? But I looked right and immediately looked into his eyes, and I saw why he was shooting, and he was shooting at me and shooting at us. And so immediately hollered, you know, shooter.
How far away was he from you?
20 to 25 feet.
How did he miss?
He hit a chain link fence, and if I haven't showed you that, he literally cut a chain link out of a chain link fence, which deflected that bullet and kept it from sinking into my chest. So that's a God thing. That was one of many miracles performed that day on the field. And when you start adding them up, they don't make sense, but they make sense to those of us who believe God had his hand on that field that day, or there would have been deaths besides the shooter.
Wow. That, of course, you'll never forget that day. Steve Scalise, the congressman who's third-ranking member of the House Republican leadership, he was hit and still has to deal with that today, doesn't he?
He is. He's getting better every day and stronger every day. And Steve's like me. You know, we both know what a miracle it was that God allowed us and several others to be here.
Yeah.
And he's a great representative from Louisiana and a great friend of mine. And we're just glad he's getting stronger.
Talking to Congressman Trent Kelly from Mississippi, you serve on the Armed Services Committee, right?
That's correct.
About a year ago or so, the budget was passed. And I remember President Trump at the time talking about how the military was, would you say, not been funded enough to keep up with our needs that our military leaders were telling that we needed. I don't know if you could pin that on the Obama administration or who was responsible for that.
Well,
but talk about that if
you
would. It's
that stupid thing they have called sequester is what started that. And they started cutting. But actually, even with the increased funding we had last year and this year, our budget for the military is still less than it was in 2010. And people don't realize that. We are much lower now than we were at 2010. And so what they started doing is finding ways. They thought nobody will be stupid enough to cut our military to the bare bones so that we can't fund other programs. But quite frankly, you got people up there who care more about social programs that fit their needs than they do about the defense of this great nation. As we're seeing with border control, you know, we'll spend $5 billion on something that doesn't matter that has no impact or on a study, but we won't spend that to build a wall on our border to keep people who shouldn't be coming to this country from coming to this country. So it's quite frankly, it's horrifying how low we had gotten in the military.
I have one more question. Maybe these guys... due to relative to that. when you're talking about funding for the military, are we, you know, you don't know, you aren't ready till the time comes when you discover it, right? So I'm saying, so a lot of these, not all Democrats, but a lot of far lefties, they would say, we don't need any more military spending, right? We need to put this in other programs here in America. But we have to have ships and planes and go ahead.
Trust me, if we don't build our military, our enemies are. And China and Russia continue to invest in their military at record levels. We haven't had the help. Thank God President Trump has gotten people to help us that are paying their fair share now in Europe, or at least getting closer to that. But Russia and China continue to build. North Korea continues to build. Iran continues to build. So we can't just turn a blind eye and go, they're going to be nice, because we know that if we ever get weak enough, they will attack us and they will destroy right. everything that is great about America.
Well, Congressman, I was looking at your biography. You have a master's degree in strategic studies from the United States Army War College in Pennsylvania. Just address, I know we're kind of hitting you kind of with a lot of questions. The concern,
he volunteered to come in.
I did.
Take these questions.
All right.
Yeah.
What did you think about the president's attempt to continued attempt to try to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula?
You know, it's a long, hard process. He is doing a great job in engaging. It amazes me that people think you can get to a solution without talking to people. You have to talk and have discussion. We're still hard on sanctions. He's gone over there and shows we're willing to deal, but there's certain things you won't give. And people made it bad that he walked out this last week, but he didn't. It was a good meeting, but they couldn't come to agreement. So rather than doing like we did on the Iran deal and making a bad deal for America and a bad deal for the world, the president says, no, we're not there yet. We're going to walk away and we'll reengage later. And so I think he's doing a great job there, but we got to continue to keep up the pressure, but we got to let them know we're open to a solution, but we're not just going to give up the farm to get a solution.
Congressman, we're about 18 months away from the next election in 2020. A lot of people are saying it's going to be a referendum on socialism. There is an ideological divide in this country, and I'm wondering, it's hard for a lot of us to understand, why would this country turn to something that has been proven a failure down through history? But that's the songbook that the Democrats are singing from.
You know, I sit on the floor every day, and of course, it's not the whole Democratic Party, but it is a large portion of them. It is a large one that think, and all they have to do is look at Venezuela. I mean, if you want to see what socialism looks like, look there. Or look at Cuba. You know, look at the Soviet Union and the downfall of the Soviet Union. It doesn't work, and it's been proven over and over again. But quite frankly, they think they can get voters. They don't care about America. They care about voters. And they think if we give you free stuff and we say everything's going to be taken care of, we'll take care of you, that they'll vote for them. Well, that's just not true. And it's like socialized medicine. You can say it's a good thing, and in theory, it is a great thing. We should all be able to get health care, everything we need every time. But we know with socialized medicine, what happens is we get the government decides who winners and losers are. People die waiting for health care, and they don't get it because they've decided all of us got to get something rather than us getting what we need. And so I just can't be for socialism, but it is going to be a referendum with a large part of the Democratic Party.
Is there a group of – I've heard there's a group of Christian congressmen who meet on a regular basis in Washington. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. I'm a member of the Bipartisan Prayer Breakfast, which is on Thursday mornings. We pray. It also sponsors the National Prayer Breakfast, which is a great, great event. And so there are groups that pray together. We sing a few hymns together. I don't know that it's good singing, but we at least try to make a joyful noise. And we pray for our colleagues and other issues in the nation. And then on Wednesday mornings, as I've talked about before, I'm in a prayer breakfast. And it's a Bible study. It's like where we really study the Bible. We have a few preachers, and that one's all Republicans, but the Thursday morning is Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah. Mm. Congressman Trent Kelly with us. Well, we asked you for 15 minutes, and you gave us 14. So, listen, anything you would say to our listeners? We have a national listening audience, and we follow what's going on in D.C., you know, as close as we can. What you guys do, I know it's made fun of a lot, but it's also extremely important to our country's future.
You know, I just ask for continued prayers and for us to have discernment and wisdom. That's all I've ever asked for. So pray for us to make the right decisions, because it's a lot more difficult than you see. And you see a vote on there and you want to talk about people did this or that, and that doesn't necessarily speak to the heart of the issue. And I can tell you most members up there, regardless of what party they're in, are doing their dead level best to make put this nation in a better place. I disagree sometimes with the solution, but I never disagree with the intent of most of the people who are voting up there.
Well, I do. So anyway,
well, I'm not talking about those socialists now.
Okay. Hey, Congressman Trent Kelly, we will pray for you and your colleagues there who are trying to do the right thing, follow the Constitution, champion our country's best interests, and we appreciate you coming by.
Thank you very much.
Congressman Trent Kelly joining us. He's a Republican from the 1st District of Mississippi. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and Tim with Ed and Fred. Fred, what do you got for us now?
Well, just asking the congressman about the move towards socialism, at least on the Democrat side. And there's a poll that's come out just in the last few days from the Wall Street Journal and NBC. And listen to this, folks. 75% of the country says they don't want socialism. Now, if you're a Democrat, I take that as bad news. Because you got a bunch now, 11 or 12 people who've already declared they want to be the next president of the United States. And one thing they seem to agree on is much bigger government and socialism. Well, this morning on Fox and Friends, talk show host Larry Elder talked about this a little bit, about the push from the left for socialism. Cut number three.
The problem is there's a growing fantasy with socialism on the part of the left. The people on the left, I think they believe there's a free lunch, and these over there are trying to stop them from eating that free lunch. It takes historical ignorance to buy that argument. Look at what socialism has done in China. Look what socialism has done in Russia. Look what's going on right now in Venezuela, for crying out loud. And capitalism has been the engine that has lifted more people up from poverty than any other ideology that I can think of. It's coming from what I call, Steve, the axis of indoctrination. That's Hollywood, academia, and media. All of them conspire to promote these left-wing views. Why do you think the left wants free college tuition? If people who went to college came out Republican, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Yeah.
So that's very interesting. And given what the congressman, our guest, just talked about socialism, let's look at Venezuela. Let's look at Cuba. Let's look at the Soviet Union. And so what the Democrats are banking on is the ignorance of the masses. They really are. That of what socialism, where socialism takes a country. There is historic evidence there. But they're believing that the people who, from which they're trying to get votes from, are ignorant of this, are ignorant of that reality. And plus, as Larry Elder just said, if you're a college student right now and someone says, hey, it's not going to cost you a thing anymore, we're just going to give you free education, you're not thinking about down the road, someday I'm going to have to start paying for free education for somebody else. It's like people living for today but not understanding the long-term consequences.
Well, and this is a problem when you're talking about a fairly uninformed electorate at times, being able to be bamboozled with lofty-sounding goals that have no root in reality. To your point and to this discussion, although this is not technically socialism, over the weekend, Patrick Moore, who's the co-founder of the environmentalist group Greenpeace.
Yes.
Now, this is not a conservative group. This is a very left-wing group. Ripped into the freshman Democrat in the House of Representatives, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, with her big Green New Deal. And he tweeted, okay, because she's wanting to ban fossil fuels within 10 years. Get rid of all cars, we can go to horses and all those kind of things like this. This is what Patrick Moore said. Now, again, co-founder of Greenpeace.
A leftist group.
A leftist group said about AOC, pompous little twit, okay? And he's talking about Cortez. You don't have a plan to grow food for 8 billion people without fossil fuels or get food into the cities. Horses? If fossil fuels were banned, every tree in the world would be cut down for fuel for cooking and heating. You would bring about mass death. Mm. Now, this is a leftist from a left-wing group talking about Ocasio-Cortez's big Green New Deal, and he's saying, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. You get rid of fossil fuels, you're going to go send us back 150 years, 200 years, when everyone burned wood.
Yeah.
For fuel and for... Mm-hmm. for heating and cooking. And this is exactly the kind of unreal, almost science fiction-y stuff you're getting from people on the left. It has no root in reality, and you even have leftists calling them out.
This is going to be interesting because these kinds of ideas pushed by AOC and the New Green Deal, I mean, she is a rock star.
Yes.
For the progressive, and understand, folks, I don't think they're progressive. I'm calling them what they're known commonly politically. The progressives are, as Abe calls them, the regressives in the Democrat Party, which make up a majority of the Democrat Party, I believe. And this is a war now coming inside the Democratic Party over the AOC view of the world and
right.
how things need to be going. And then, I guess, would you call it a more sane
Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah, the moderate, quote moderate branch.
Ocasio-Cortez has threatened the establishment of the Democratic Party. She said, we'll put you on a list.
Yes.
If you don't side with us, we'll put you on a list. We'll primary you.
And she's the boss. She said, I'm the boss.
And here you have a leftist calling her a poor, what do you say, pompous little twit.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch, see what happens here. Because now, what would really be fun if she were old enough to run for president?
Which she's not.
I'm talking about political theater fun.
Yes.
I'm talking about, folks. I think her ideas are dangerous, but... But her ideas are dangerous to our country, but they hurt the Democrat Party with the majority of Americans because they're so whacked out mm-hmm. and they're so far, far left. I mean, it's going to be get the popcorn out for the next year when you consider Bernie, comb your hair, Sanders. You consider Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren. You're talking about
you got nicknames for all of them?
Kamala,
this is going to be good.
Kamala passed the weed, Harris. What's her name? Isn't that her name?
Kamala Harris.
Kamala? Mm-hmm. Kamala passed the weed.
Nobody calls her that, but that's her name.
Kamala.
Everyone calls her Kamala.
I listened to Tupac before he was famous, before he was even known, Harris.
Yeah.
Then you got the woman up in from Wisconsin who, what's her name? Anyway. You get the idea.
Yeah.
This is send in the clowns.
And then you have Hickenlooper from Colorado.
Yes, with a name like that.
And he can't be president with a name like that.
And I thought going through life with Wildman was a chore. But this poor fellow, what's his last
Hickenlooper.
Name?
Hickenlooper.
You can't get elected president. You're going to have to change your name.
Get elected governor of state.
I'd cut half
president.
That name. I cut that name in half. What would you have if you cut it in half?
Hick.
Well, you're going to have
Hicken. That ain't going to work either.
Hicken or Looper. I mean, I'm not sure
either.
Looper?
But you're loopy.
Yes.
I don't know. So anyway, I'm just kidding about his last name, folks. But
a guy with the last name Vitagliano usually doesn't
right,
make
right,
fun of other people's
right.
names.
I understand. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But these candidates who announced for president on the Democrat Party side. Now, I think of all the ones who... Well, the one person who could potentially beat President Trump, and this is as of today, right now, just and this is my personal opinion. So, you know, if you don't like it, take it for what it's worth,
right.
Okay? But the one person who could potentially beat President Trump, if the election were today, in my opinion, would be Joe Biden. Because he's well known already, he doesn't need any introduction.
Pretty savvy politician.
Pretty savvy, and compared to these far left whacked out people that I've just, he's a moderate.
Yes, he's okay. The guy who's running the asylum that all these other people are
yes.
are in.
Yes, so he's the one guy who could, but you talk about, but Joe Biden has his own problems.
He's yes, got, he does.
He's a crazy Uncle Joe to a lot of people.
He's a little hands-on when he's
yes.
around the women.
And he's gaff-a-week.
Yes.
He's a gaff-a-week guy.
Although that's against Trump, that's not necessarily going to hurt him. But
you know, right.
Yeah.
Him,
because so they'd both be
right,
fun
making
to,
some gaffes.
To listen. Yeah.
Yeah. But with President Trump, he can make gaffes and nobody cares because they say, oh, it's just Trump being
right.
Trump. But maybe it's true with Biden, too.
Yeah.
But anyway... politically speaking, do you guys disagree with that?
No, I think he's
he's formidable.
Yes, he would. And now he would be coming up to the election. He would be 79, I think, approaching 80.
79 is the new 49, isn't it, though? Isn't that what they say?
When I get to 75, I hope that that's the case. But I don't think the AOC wing of the Democratic Party is going to go backwards, in their minds, go backwards to the old guard.
So there's an internal war there.
I think there's an internal war
brewing.
Coming.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. The former Attorney General of the United States in the Obama administration, Eric Holder,
right,
he announced today that he's not running. Now, a lot of people thought, and he was kind of putting the line out there, that maybe he was thinking about running, but he announced this morning he's not running.
Well, there's already 14, I think, on board running.
Yeah.
And you're just going to get lost. You're going to blow a lot of money and just get lost in that crowd.
Well, I have to wonder, too, if he is seeing where the Democratic Party is going, and he understands that maybe with his ideology it doesn't fit. Because I think he's more Barack Obama
right.
than he is AOC and Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
So, you know, the lot that's in there right now, and speaking of Bernie, he was being interviewed in the last few days, and he was asked about his pot smoking. And so we're going to play a little clip of that, but also a response this morning from former Education Secretary Bill Bennett, cut number 4.
Have you ever smoked?
A few times.
Okay.
Didn't do a whole lot for me. My recollection is I nearly coughed my brains out, so it's not my cup of tea.
Does everyone have to admit they smoke pot in order to get elected?
Well, in order to run in that party, apparently, yeah. There are more kids in treatment for marijuana than all other drugs combined. It destroys or limits, hurts focus, attention, mm-hmm. and memory. I mean, does this make sense? And can lead to psychosis. It's a dangerous drug. And one thing people don't realize, if you grew up in the 60s or 70s, went to college, the marijuana then that you were inhaling in a dorm was 5% THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. Now, on average, it's 25%.
Wow.
So there you have it. I mean, there's a serious aspect to this. Bernie saying he nearly coughed his brains out.
Are all the Democrat candidates who have announced, are they for legalization of marijuana?
I think most of them that have been asked the question are okay with that. Now, I think they like to coach it in terms of medicinal purposes, not necessarily, but the country is moving towards
right.
legalizing for recreation use too. And that's what Bill Bennett's warning about, the dangerous element inside today's marijuana, much more dangerous than what it was back in the 60s and
well,
70s.
Well, you know, to Bill Bennett's point, Bernie Sanders was talking about when he smoked, and he said, as far as I can recollect, you know, so Bill Bennett was saying it does lower your ability to focus and remember.
The idea behind legalization of marijuana? What are the people who are in favor of legalization saying that it's not a dangerous drug per se, and so we're wasting a lot of money?
It's like drinking alcohol, less dangerous, less impairment. And so why do we legalize over a certain age alcohol and not
pot? But a lot of people buy that argument.
Yeah.
Because look what happened in California and in
right.
Colorado.
And so, elsewhere.
So, and sometimes they say, well, if you legalize something, that means it's not criminal. And so the drug cartels can't make money off of it. So that's... I mean, I'm just saying this is what
right.
these are the arguments they use. And Bill Bennett's saying, wait just a minute. This stuff is dangerous, it's harmful, and it's worth maintaining.
They'll also argue that if you legalize it, if the government can tax it,
right.
And of course that opens up black market for cheaper.
If you start down that road, does that lead to more harder drugs, even than marijuana being legalized under the same arguments?
I don't know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm not a good one to. I'm against legalizing
marijuana
recreational use, but I'm not the guy to argue the case either way.
Okay, all right, Fred, thank you.
Good to be here.
And by the way, we've got a good news story coming up, maybe with Steve, about the federal judge who said you have to have admitting privileges
in Missouri.
In Missouri,
yes.
If you're an abortion quote doctor, you have to have admitting privileges.
Yes,
federal
judge upheld.
This is a big decision. We're going to tell you about it in 5 minutes regarding Planned Parenthood in the state of Missouri. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.